amazing to keep us, to draw us, to help us, to even consider us, right? As sinful as we are, as terrible as we are, I'm thankful that God loves us. Amen. I am thankful that He is an amazing God. Apart from what we do, apart from how we act, that He still loves us. He still wants us. He still desires us. He wants us to be in His presence. Amen. How many of y'all know there's some people that don't want you in their presence? Right. How about if we be honest, even when we've done things, the people, they don't want us in their presence. But how many of y'all know that we serve an amazing God, that even when we offend Him, right, even when we reject Him, right, even when we say He doesn't exist, He says, I still want you. Right. So that's the blessing of God. That's why we can say He's so amazing. I know your situation right now may not be amazing, but the God that we serve is amazing. He is faithful to whom He has promised, and He has promised us so many things. And so I am excited today to talk about what one of the many promises that God has promised to be faithful in. And that one promise or that one benefit is comfort. Amen. How many of y'all need some comfort today? Right? How many of y'all need some peace? How many of y'all need some reassurance, some hope that everything's going to be okay? Amen. So we serve the God of all comfort. Amen. The God of all comfort. Glory to God. So if we'll turn to 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. We're going to read a couple verses that I believe are very important to what God is saying right now. Amen. That He wants us to know that He is our comfort. Right? He is our comfort. And I'm going to keep saying it a whole lot because I need you to understand it. I need you to get it in your spirit. I need you to believe the word of the Lord. Amen. As God begins to speak through me, He has assured me that He sees your distress. Amen. He sees your trouble. He sees what you're going through. And He wants to be the God of all comfort. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. Isn't that good news? That He is the God of all comfort. And then verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our afflictions. Not some, not a part, not the ones you caused, not the ones that someone else caused, but He says, in all affliction. And so today I want to share with you the many benefits in serving our God, our Father, in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that one benefit, there are many, is comfort, right? It is comfort. And so if we look at this verse within context, Paul here was ministering in Asia in the first letter. And here he talks about when he was ministering there that he got close to death. Right. He didn't believe that he was even going to make it out of Asia. So he was in some trouble. Right. He was in trouble for preaching the gospel. He was in trouble for standing up for what Jesus had told him to proclaim to all the world. And so we see here that Paul begins to talk about the God of comfort. Right. Because he had experienced some things. And so I know very few, almost probably none of us have experienced the level that Paul experienced in preaching the gospel and people ready to kill you, right? That's not familiar here in the U.S., right? But in other countries, it's very prevalent, especially China and North Korea and very communist countries. But this was Paul's everyday journey, right? If you read through the New Testament, you see that he says, I escaped over a wall. I was beaten 27 times. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. So Paul was intimately involved in discomfort. And it's interesting that when Paul was first called, when he was Saul, and he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, he showed him what he would endure. And so God doesn't do that very often, because how many of y'all know if God showed you what you were going to have to go through, you probably would give up. Isn't that right? So God knows that I need to take you step by step. Right, because there's going to be some things, there's going to be some losses, you know, there's going to be some trouble, there's going to be some pain, there's going to be some mental stuff, there's going to be all these things that you are going to have to endure. And if we knew that when I became a Christian, that these things are going to happen, a lot of us would be like, I'm good. I'll take my chances, right? But God knows what we can handle, right? He knew that Paul could handle it. Right. He said, I'll show you, Paul, the things that you are going to suffer. Right. So Paul knew coming in, but he was resolute. Right. Paul was his face was set like stone that he was going to do this no matter what. Did it bother Paul? Absolutely. Y'all know the story about the thorn in the flesh. Right. Where he asked God to remove that thorn, that discomfort. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient, right? We don't know what it was. Some people say sickness. Some people say, you know, different kind. He was partially blind. Or no one really knows, but there was something. He said the enemy buffeted him, right? And he says, God, please remove this. But one thing that God made sure is that his grace or his power for Paul to walk through these things and do these things was sufficient. And so we see here that this is a prime example of how we should be, and that's resolute in distress, right? Especially as it relates to the gospel, right? As we share the gospel, as we preach and teach, how many of y'all know that we're going to be persecuted, right? We're going to be talked about. You're going to be separated. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be, why you believe that book of fairy tales? And, you know, how can you believe this God in whom you've never seen? And, you know, science proves this, that, and the other. But the thing that we know, and as Pastor Daisy talked about, one thing that no one can ever take is your testimony, right? They can never dispute what God has done for you. They can't say it's not real. They can't say that God didn't touch you, that he didn't speak to you, that he didn't change your heart, that he didn't change your mind. So if that's all you got, guess what? That's more than enough, because he said we overcame him. We overcame the enemy, right? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? So hold tight to the fact that God has done something for you, and don't forget about it. Amen? Don't forget about it. Constantly bring it back up about what God has done. And so today, what I want to do is encourage you, build you up, and help you to see that God is the source of all comfort. He is the source of all comfort. And he promises, right, to help you, to comfort you in every affliction. So Paul's affliction was mainly because of the gospel, right? And so we have two things that are promised in this case. There are lots of promises. But two things that are promised for sure is trouble. Let me say that again. Two things that are promised for sure. And both of these are out of the mouth of Jesus. But he says the first one is trouble. He says you're going to have trouble in this life. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, life happens, right? Because of sin, we're in a sin-cursed world. Y'all know that if Adam and Eve wouldn't have failed, we wouldn't have hurricanes, we wouldn't have storms, we wouldn't have destruction, we wouldn't have earthquakes, we wouldn't have tsunamis, we wouldn't have all these things that are so destructive. That's not the way God intended, right? It didn't even rain, right, in the Garden of Eden. It says the water just came up from the ground and watered, right? There wasn't the destruction. So we live in a sin-cursed world. And so Jesus said that if you follow me, you're going to have trouble. So I want you to understand today that trouble is part of this life. It's something that we all have experienced, that we will go through. Why? Not because God is sitting back and like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make them go through this. It is the fact that we have evil people. We were evil people. Right? We done things to people. People done things to us. And so we are not exempt from trouble, whether you are a believer or not. But one of the benefits of being a believer, right? I want to tell you your benefits package, like when you go to your job, right? One of the many benefits, one of the greatest benefits is that not only trouble, but comfort, right? Comfort. He says, I'll comfort you. We are promised, right, that he will comfort us. He will. God will. God is not sitting back and allowing us to just go through things and not providing comfort, right? So what kind of trouble am I talking about? So the kind of discomfort that we can experience is loss, right? Many of us have lost someone, loss of a loved one, loss of relationships, loss of friendships, right? Loss of a job, loss of property, loss of hope, right? Loss of our health. How about the loss of a family member? Even if they're still around. How many of y'all know you can lose family members and they're still breathing, right? But things just happen. Things go on. They have a different agenda, or they're not good for your life, or they did something to you, right? There are so many different things, and so there are many more troubles that we can experience. And so as we go through these things, I was reading this, and I found that they talked about three types of discomfort. One is from the past, right, which is regret, right? Another is guilt for the present, right? And then fear and anxiety for the future, right? Those are areas that we can find ourselves struggling, right? That we can be hit three times at one time, right? With the past, the present, and the future. That's the level of discomfort that we can find ourselves in. But God sees that. Can I say that again? God sees all that. He sees your past. He sees your present. And he knows your future. And so he sent me here today, right, to tell you that he is with you, right? That he is with you. I know that person may not be with you, right? The person that you lost, right? That friendship, that relationship, right? That it may be lost. It may be gone away. It may be in disaster. But God is saying that he is with you. Right. And he desires to be all the comfort you need. Can I say that again? He desires to be all the comfort that you need. And we many times hurt. Right. How many of y'all have ever been hurt? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, naturally, all those things. We all have. We can be so scared, so wounded that we feel that not even God can help us. Right? Have you ever been at that place that not even God can help us, or that it seems like God doesn't care? Right? We got to be honest. Right? We got to be honest. We can't act like that. We haven't been at that place where it's like God, I don't feel like you want to help me. Why? Because it keeps going on. And it keeps happening, and things keep happening, and things keep going on, and life keeps like right punch, left punch. It's like, did Mike Tyson wake up on the bad side, wrong side of the bed, and then find my house, right, and begin to punch me in the face? I don't know if you've ever been at that place in life, but the Psalms are filled with it, where David would be like, God, where are you? God, what is going on? It's like my enemy is overtaking me. Like, God, do you even care about me? Right? Job, it's like, what is going on? Like, why is all these things happening to me? So this is not uncommon, right? That life can seem like it's swallowing you up. And even you begin to wonder, does God even want to help me? Right? Have I done something so wrong that God says, I'm not going to help you? Well, I need you to know that that's a lie. Right. God is there and he is very present. Right. He is here to help you. He wants to be beside you. And so David cried out, right, many times in trouble. God, have you forsaken me? My enemies are overtaking me. And it can feel that way. But I came to remind you of the second promise, is that he is your comfort. He has not forgotten you. And we have to put his word into action. Amen. We have to put his word in action, and that you would find the strength. How many of y'all know that sometimes you can be so hurt that it's hard to even receive comfort, right? You can be grieving. You can be at a place in life where it's just like, I'm just going to be like this, right? I'm just going to be, we used to say, jaded, right? It's like something has hurt me so bad that I'm not even going to try to find peace. I'm not even going to try to find comfort in this situation. I'm just going to block everybody. I'm just going to block every person that tries to come and help me. I don't need help in that area, because if I don't get help, then I won't be hurt again. Right? Right? That's what we do. And that's not in every area of our lives, but there are some areas in our lives where it's like, I don't want any help right now, because I don't want to get healed, right, and be hurt again. Right? We find vulnerability is tough. It is. Right? It is tough. But God wants to comfort you, right? He wants to heal you. If you're in that place where you don't want to be vulnerable, God wants to heal that place. Because that vulnerability not only keeps people out, or the lack of vulnerability keeps people out, it keeps God out, right? In certain rooms in our heart, in certain places in our heart, in certain things that God wants to heal, right? Because if someone has hurt you, what about the next season in your life when God needs to send that person in your life, right? In the next season, in the next stage of your life, if someone, you know, a previous relationship, right? So it's like, oh, I'm done with all men. I'm done with all women, right? I'm done with everybody. Like I'll be by myself. Just leave me alone, right? And it's like, well, God is trying to prepare you for your next, which is a blessing in a relationship. And it's like, no, I don't need that. I'll just be single for the rest of my life, right? And it's like, well, unless God has called you, like Paul, to a life of celibacy, right? Which Paul says, I wish that everyone would be like me, right? And Paul didn't have a wife. He decided to dedicate his entire life. And that's okay, right? If you have what's called the gift of singleness. But how many of y'all know that it can't be, I just don't want to fool with nobody, right? Right. I'm good. I'm fine. I wish I could remember what fine really meant. And it don't mean look good. It really is just a projection to leave me alone. Right. I'm fine. You ask somebody when they're in a bad mood, you okay? It's like, I'm fine. And fine ain't never good. Right. So understand that we're not really fine. Right. We need help. Right. And God wants to comfort those places. He wants to heal. He wants to do some things today so that we can know that he is the God of all comfort. So if we can put the definition of comfort up. So comfort is a state of physical ease and freedom from pain and constraint. Right. The easing or alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress. Right? A state of physical ease or freedom from pain or constraint. We all want to be comforted, right? We all want to be comfortable. We all want to be with no pain. Isn't that right? So we seek comfort. When you got a sore muscle, what you do? You ready to take some ibuprofen or some Tylenol, right? If you got a knee, like my knee is hurting. I did a boot camp yesterday, and so my knee is feeling better now. But I was a little tore up yesterday. Couldn't hardly drive straight, couldn't walk straight. My body was asking me, what have you done? And halfway through, this is a 45-minute workout, I said, mistakes were made. Right? And I made some mistakes here. Some things went wrong, but it was good for me. It was good, right? I was trying to get rid of the discomfort. There was lots of discomfort yesterday for 45 minutes. My heart rate didn't go below about 145, the whole 45 minutes. So it was intense, right? And I knew I was in some discomfort, but I was trying to figure out how to alleviate this discomfort without just walking out the door. And so it's called Burn Boot Camp. And if you want some extreme discomfort that's going to help you do better, go to Burn Boot Camp. Amen. But don't let that be your first workout session, right? Don't you going to quit. Burn. So it has two very tough words in it. Burn, number one. Your muscles are going to burn. Your back going to burn. Your everything. I thought my ear was bleeding for a minute. I was like, something. I tell y'all no lie. No. I was like, is my ear bleeding? I was like, am I having a heart attack? They had me throwing medicine balls and flipping and rolling and doing all kind of stuff. I was like, Lord have mercy. I won't tell y'all the rest. But anyways, I was in discomfort yesterday. Amen. I've been trying to work out. I have been working out for the last month. Amen. And so I was like, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Right. And I knew it was going to be discomfort. But anyways, I was trying to alleviate that discomfort. Right. My knees started hurting. I was like, I'm not going to give up. But right. When we have toothaches. Right. We like get this tooth out of here. Right. We are always trying to get rid of discomfort. Right. We are always trying to get whatever it may be. We will do whatever to get comfortable. Isn't that right? We'll pop pills. We'll drive an hour. We'll do whatever to try to figure out. And because of this natural need for comfort, and it's natural, right? No one wants to be in discomfort. Nobody likes pain continually. We'll seek it in many ways. When we're stressed, right? When we're grieving, when we're fearful, in trouble, how about angry, just going through, right? Our jobs can be stressing us out. People issues, right? People just be peopling, right? It's like, why are you peopling? Just stop. Just stop. Stop trying to run me off the road. Stop flicking me off. Stop yelling and screaming. Stop. Right, people are just being people. How about money issues, right? Just can drive us, right? Can put us in discomfort. How about husband and wife issues, children issues, court issues, sickness, right? All of it, right? All this discomfort. Right? And it can be all of them, from one thing to another, one day to another. We can be in discomfort, right? And we seek comfort, and comfort comes in many different ways, right? The way we should deal with discomfort, right, is seek God, right? And say that he is the, because he says that he is the God of all comfort. But we will try it for a little bit, right? We'll pray about it for a little bit. We'll play a worship song. We'll say, God, help me. And then it was like, well, that didn't work. I'm still in discomfort. So I'm going to try some other stuff, right? And hopefully we're seeking some healthy methods, right? We'll go work out or maybe try to go on a little vacation or, you know, go to the movies, you know, have a quiet time, which is good and healthy. But that may not bring you complete comfort, right? And so what do we do? We go into the harmful or sinful things, right, to bring us comfort, right? We'll begin to eat. How many of y'all know that we stress eat, right? We eat. Yeah, we all do, right? We all, when we're that's right. That's why it's called comfort food, right? It tastes good, feels good. Something in your brain goes off. It's like, oh, yeah, that fried chicken, that ice cream, them cookies, right? We begin to eat, right? We do. We do. We all do. But how many of y'all know that we begin to find comfort in that and it becomes destructive, right? Eating is good and it's needed, but then it can get to a place to where it becomes destructive. We not only will eat, sometimes we'll go towards sex, right? And I'm not talking about in marriage. I'm talking about outside, right? We'll be trying to comfort what's harming us, right? We're trying to find a release of dopamine, right? We're trying to get some things in our brain to make us feel good, right? So we'll head for sex and drugs, self-harm, cutting, right? Wrong relationships, even though they treated you really bad, but they'll give you a little attention. Right, when you're really going through, and sometimes what we don't realize is that when we're in discomfort, we're very vulnerable, right? And that's why you shouldn't make decisions when you're in discomfort, extreme discomfort, because you will forget what they used to do to you, right? How they used to treat you, because they'll give you a little attention, right? I'll give you a little something to make you feel good. How about bad company, right? When things are going really bad, we don't want to be around positive people, right? We would rather be around negative people that see the world like us at that time, that complain, and it's like, yeah, that's wrong, and that's wrong. And not that you can't be around people that can identify with what you're going through at the time, but we will stay around bad company, right? We will stay around sinful people that will tell you, oh, no, don't pray, let's go drink. Right? It's like, oh, no, don't We're not gonna be positive. We're gonna go out here in the club, right? And we're gonna do some drugs, right? I'm gonna take your mind off of it, right? And the thing is that it's not healthy, it's not helpful, and it can be very destructive, right? So we have to be careful of discomfort and not trying to get a quick fix for it, because it leads us down a road that we now have to spend months or years trying to undo. Right? Extreme discomfort can cause us to make some bad decisions. We seek to do what? Numb the pain, the grief, the problem. Right? And trusting God sometimes is not the first thing that we turn to. Right? We got to be honest. We grab the cake, we grab the bottle, we grab a person, or we grab some powder. Right? We grab some weed or some prescription drugs. Or maybe we isolate, maybe we shop, maybe we clean, maybe we become judgmental, maybe we become mean and short-tempered, right? In discomfort, we come out of ourselves, right? And all we're trying to do is get comfort. And sometimes being mean to people brings us comfort, right? Sometimes being short-tempered and judgmental, it's like, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, why do I have to listen to, you know, we short circuit, right? We just lose it. And it's natural, but we have to be careful, right? Because we grab all the wrong things in order to be comfortable. And how many of y'all know that it's just for a short time? The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, for a little bit. When we grab the wrong things, it feels good for that moment. And then we're like, oh, my God, what did I just do? What did I just say? Right. And the problem is that it's not a one time thing. Right. We continue to grab those wrong things. Right. Because they become addicting. Right. They satisfy. Right. We're not going to act like that. The drugs don't satisfy and the sex don't try to satisfy and the alcohol and the partying and just being free. Like, oh, I ain't got to worry about it no more. Right. It's like I can just get my mind off of it. Takes us into what? An altered state. Right. It takes us. We lose all inhibition. We lose all sense of right and wrong. Isn't that right? We've all been there. We've all been at some altered state that caused us to make some bad decisions. That's God. That's why God says he's the God of all comfort. Right. He's the God of all comfort, that all these other things fall short of really giving you what you need, because guess what? You still got to come down, right? You still got to go to work, right? You still got to, you know, you can't lay in the bed forever, right? It's like it's a temporary fix, and God says he's the God of all comfort, so that we wouldn't go and grab the wrong things thinking that it's going to satisfy. Only he can satisfy the discomfort that you are experiencing, right? He's the only one that promises. Because guess what? You can grab that man and that woman. You can do this and do that. And guess what? They got to leave. And they'll leave you, right? You left them before, right? When you were sober, right? When you were in a flat state, right? A normal, like you're sober minded. You make good judgment. Like, I don't want to be around him. I don't want to do that. But when discomfort comes, the enemy can use that to be like, oh, yeah, look, this is a quick fix. Right? Faith is not always a quick fix. Right? It doesn't always happen instantaneously. And I got to tell you the truth, right? But God says he is the source of all comfort and will comfort you in all affliction. And so what happens is, you do all these things, right? You grab the wrong things. We're going to put the wrong things over here, right? We grab all these things. And then once we're sober again, right, then it's like, oh, my God, what did I just do, right? You feel guilty, ashamed, unworthy. Why? Because you didn't trust God. It's like, God, why did I do this, right? Why did I do this again? Why can't I stop this? Why this cycle, right? I keep grabbing, doing the wrong things, right? Destructive things, harmful things. Sometimes it may not even be the big sins, right? It can be the way we think, right? That we won't believe that we can do it, right? What is it called? Stinking thinking, right? We will think bad, right? That can be something that we default to as well. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to get out of this. This ain't never going to get better, right? That can bring comfort. It's like, well, I'm already going to fail, so I might as well just think that way, right? Because at times, thinking positive is difficult, right? In hard times, when you don't feel it, right? When you're in pain, it is hard to think positive. It is hard to speak the word of God. It's not impossible, but it is challenging, right? Especially if we've been grabbing all this other stuff. And what the enemy does is he says, hey, yeah, grab all this stuff. Do all these things. Think negatively. Put yourself down. Say you ain't gonna never make it. Drink, smoke, do all this stuff. And then guess who's the one that's condemning you? He says, look at you. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. You don't trust God, right? So it's a cycle. We're ashamed, we feel guilty, we're unworthy. And what do we eventually do? We turn from God and we walk away. Because it's like, God doesn't want me either. And that's a lie of the enemy, right? No matter what you do on this side, God still wants you, right? No matter what mistakes you make, no matter what you go back to, no matter what you grab onto, he still wants you. He still says, I'll comfort you if you'll trust me, right? If you'll trust me. Right. If you'll come to know me, if you don't know me, he says, I'll give you comfort. I'm the God of all comfort. And then the enemy tempts us and then he condemns us. And this cycle keeps going and going. But I need you to know today that the cycle stops because of the power of Jesus. Right? Jesus's power breaks the cycle. You don't have to keep grabbing for things that are temporary, things that are not everlasting, things that are going to leave you, things that are going to disrupt your peace. Ultimately, the thing that's going to draw you away from God, while it feels good right now, but when you're asleep and when you become sober, it's like, God, what did I do? Right? And we have to remember those feelings, right? And that condemnation that comes when we're in discomfort, right? But he says that cycle, it stops today, right? Jesus breaks the power of sin. He breaks the cycle of harmful behaviors, right, that pull us away from him, because he just wants to be close to you, right? Even in your sinful state, he ate and was amongst sinners. Right, and we're all sinners saved by grace, right? We've been transformed, we've been changed. How many of y'all know we make mistakes? Amen. Right? We go through seasons where we fall, we make mistakes, we go through things, we do things. And God does not want that for us. But guess what? God is not like man. He does not throw us away. Right? He does not throw us away. He does not just say, well, they didn't do right, so let me get rid of them. That's not him. His love is everlasting. He's long-suffering. Right, he suffers long with this. He said, I'm even married to the backslider. Right, I'm married to them. He says, I go after the one. So I want you to be encouraged today that if you've turned away, if you're in those patterns, those cycles, and the enemy has condemned you to the point to where you want to walk away, don't. Don't. Why? He says he's connected to you. He's got you. He says, what can take you out of my hands? What can pluck you out? He says, nothing. Nothing. So we want to turn to Isaiah 9 and 6. Amen. And I'm almost done. Isaiah 9 and 6. And so when we talk about, I talked a lot about discomfort. So now I want to talk about comfort, right? And two of the names that Jesus is called, and I'll read the scripture, Isaiah 9 and 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord. Prince of Peace. He is the chief among peace. The chief, he has all the peace you need in your mind, in your heart, in your body, in your homes, on your jobs. He says, I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Prince of Peace. You know what else he's called? Counselor. Counselor. right? Counselor. So what does, Ashley, you put up what counselor means. I know we got a lot of counselors in here, a lot of therapists, all that stuff like that. But counselor means to advise, to consult, to give counsel, purpose, devise, and plan. That's what Jesus does. As a counselor, he advises you. He consults you. He gives you counsel. How many of y'all have ever wanted counsel? How many of y'all have ever wanted to know how you needed to do something? We seek help all the time. Naturally, physically, spiritually. Right? You're here today because you want to change. You want to be different. You need some help. Isn't that right? So he's called counselor. And so he advises us. He consults us. He gives us counsel, but he also gives us purpose. And he devises things, and he gives us a plan. Right? So while you think your situation is hopeless, he says, allow me to be your counselor. Right? Allow me to advise you. Right? Because the bottle, the drugs, the sex, you know, the bad attitude, the all these things are not advising you. They're just numbing you. Right? They're just giving you a temporary fix. How many of y'all know when you take advice, you know, advice, it takes a little time, right? For it's all come together. But it steps in the right direction. He says he's a counselor. And that he's the Prince of Peace. So that's the way that he can comfort us. Is that he's all these things, right? Is that he's mighty God, but he's the Prince of Peace. And so Jesus says something to his disciples before he left. He says, my peace is John 10:27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it to you, right? All this stuff over here. Not as the world gives it to you, right? The world gives you all this stuff and says it's going to give you peace, right? Just have you a cocktail, right? Just have you, you know, smoke you some loud, right? It's going to calm your mind. You know, you're going to be all right. You're going to feel better, right? You're going to do this. It's like just sleep around, right? Just do some drugs, sniff some powder, right? Smoke this, do that. All these things. He says, I don't give you that peace, right? He says, I don't give you as the world gives you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can trust him. You can trust him over here. I know this is what's familiar, and I know this is what's easy, right? Because you don't have to trust this. You just pick it up and do it, right? You don't have to put any faith in this. But over here, as he told Thomas, more blessed is those that have not seen and believed than those that have seen and believed. So it's our faith that helps to comfort us, right? It is us trusting God in the midst of what we're going through. And so there is a Greek word. So what Jesus was saying in 10:27 is that he was sending his peace. And what his peace is and would be, is the comforter. Josiah, you come up. And so, Jesus as our peace, we turn to him in the Holy Spirit, and he's called to help us, not just in sin, if you'll stand right here beside me. The Holy Spirit is not here just to convict of sin only, right? That's one part. But I think we overemphasize that part, is that the Holy Spirit is only here to convict us of sin, to lead us in the right direction, to not do wrong things. And while that is one part of what he does, but the word paraclete means comforter, right, or counselor, right? Paraclete. I need you to remember that word paraclete. It's Greek for the word comfort or counselor. And another form of this is one that is called to the side of another, right? Put your arm around me, right? This is what the Holy Spirit, put both arms around me. This is what the Holy Spirit does, right? I know it seems silly, you know, especially for men. We like, well, I don't, no, we need it too, right? We need God to come beside us, when we're in discomfort, because I don't know if you've ever been in discomfort and somebody came and hugged you, right? Someone just held on to you. Somebody just said, it's going to be all right, right? He promised to come beside you. And not only does he come beside you, but he promises to be inside you, right? So we know that when salvation comes, the Holy Spirit now lives in us. So you don't have to just get the Holy Spirit when you're here at church, but he can comfort you just like this if you will depend on him, if you will trust him. Let me show you something. The Bible says to not grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so grieving happens when you lose something, right? Or you lose someone. So again, the Holy Spirit, hug me, Holy Spirit. And it's like, well, I'm in some bad discomfort right now. And I know that you got me, but I just need a drink, right? I just need them drugs, just a little bit. Like, just I need that woman or that man. I need a porn or I need whatever. I just, right? You see how we grieve the Holy Spirit? Because we say, you're not enough, right? You can't be the source of all my comfort. And yes, this happens. But that's why he tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit grieves because he's losing you, right? Even though he's in you. And that's the reality, is that not only is he on the outside, but as we do all these things, he's right here. He's also grieved because he's now in mess, right? He's now in every sin that you do, he's right there, right? Everything that you go through, everything that you choose outside of him and outside of God, he's right there. But he's really grieved because he knows, not that you're doing sin, but he knows the harmful long-term effects, right? Sin has a payment, right? Sin at the end leads to death. And so whatever it may be that brings you comfort, God wants to free you today because he wants to come and grab me one more time, right? He wants to be your comfort in the midst of trouble, in the midst of pain, in the midst of you don't understand, in the midst when your job goes crazy, when people get on your nerves, when you lose someone, right, when relationships are fractured, right, when you don't even know what's wrong with you. You just don't feel like you, right? You just don't know, right? Sometimes we get like that. We irritated. We're frustrated. He says, I'm here, right? If you'll lean into me, right? So if you lean into, well, you hear us say that all the time about lean into me, right? So we got two ways we can lean, right? We got two ways. He says you can only serve two masters, right? It's one or the other, right? You don't get to be like this, right? We're not playing. What's that called? Twister, right? We got to be resolute, like Paul, that no matter what comes, I'm going to him, right? Even when my flesh is screaming, I'm still, right? When our flesh would, our spirit wants to do what's right, but our flesh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Paraclete. Amen. But you see that God wants to show you, he was showing you that he's right there. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I stand beside you. I uphold you. Matthew 11 and 24. And we hear this scripture so much when it talks about salvation. But as God began to show me and I began to read and study, I seen this in a new light. And so Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. He says, I will give you rest when you're heavy, not just when you're sinful, not just when you don't know me. This is a promise. Come all to me that labor. How many of y'all know that life is laborious, right? We can have some heavy burdens. We can go through some things in this life. And he says, come to me and I'll do what? Give you rest. How many of y'all need rest? How many of y'all need to be comforted? How many of y'all need to know that everything is going to be all right, that you're safe in his arms, right? That brings a new meaning to the song, right? Safe in his arms. But he needs you to lean into him. Right? We're going to lean into comfort today. We're going to lean into our help. We're going to lean into what God wants to do and wants to say. He's saying, if you're heavy today, if you're in discomfort, if you're in pain, if you're going through, and I know there are other things that seem to numb it, but he says those won't work long term. Those will only be destructive to you, to your spirit, to your relationship with God. He says, I want you to be free today, right? He says, I want the comfort that you get to be pure, right? To be everlasting, right? That you can sleep good and you don't have to be convicted, right? You don't have to be condemned, because there is a sense, there is an overwhelming presence. And the thing is that this is not just in your mind. But God's presence is real and tangible to be able to comfort you in the midst of trouble, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of you not knowing what's going to happen. But he says that I'll cause all things to work together for your good if you'll lean into me. He said, for those that are called according to my purpose. Right, we use that sometimes for everybody. Like everybody, it's like the whole world, all things are going to work together for the good. It's not, let me tell you. It's not. It's not going to work together for the good for those that are not called according to his purpose. You can't have my benefits plan for my job. It's called fraud. Right? I can't sign you up for my benefits plan, Chantel. I can't. You got to work at the job. You got to have your own benefits. So while it seems like, well, everybody, no, those that, how many of y'all have trusted the Lord? Right? How many of y'all have endured? Right? How many of y'all have showed up to work? Right? Showed up for Jesus. And so he says, there's some benefits, and I promise that if you trust me, and when I say trust me, just put your hand in my hand and allow me to lead you. I know you ain't got it all together. I know you don't do everything right. I know you may be over here, you're just over here in all the sin. That's okay. He says, I just need you to trust me. I need you to just set your mind that God, I want to change. Like, God, I want to do better. God, I want to be comforted the right way. He's that type of God that not only will he begin to... Not only does he see you in this place and accept you, he'll give you the strength to begin to lean into him, right? To begin to move this way day by day, right? Sometimes some things happen miraculously, and sometimes things take time. It's a process of change, right? But today, I believe all of us need some comfort, right? Can we stand? We all need some comfort. We need to know that our paraclete is beside us, that he stands beside us as our comfort. He says, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives, but as I give in the precious Holy Spirit that promises to dwell inside you, feel you, stand beside you, counsel you, advise you, give you what you need when you need it if you look to him. He says, in every temptation, I give you a way of escape. So as you stand at each place of discomfort, which way do I go? My prayer for each one of you is that you lean into him, even when it's tough. That you just take one step towards him. And you say, God, I believe you. You might stumble a little bit, but guess what? The paraclete's got you. Right, the Holy Spirit's got you. And day by day, decision by decision, you're getting stronger. I know you may go back over here. I know you may grab a drink. I know you might smoke. I know you might do this. You might look at this. You might do this, but just keep pushing. God, you promised to be my comfort. You promised to help me. Give me the strength. That is my prayer for you. God, give us all the strength to be comforted the way you want to comfort us. Help us, God, in our pain. Help us in our grief. Help us in our turmoil. Help us in life to lean into you, to trust you when we can't see anything. God, help us to believe your word. Help us to trust your word. Help us to know that you are all our comfort. Not some of our comfort, but all our comfort. God, strengthen us. Allow your Holy Spirit to bubble up inside of us. Allow that power, that dynamite to begin to explode in us. God, change our desires. Change our desires from the world to you. God, help us, God, to see that the curse is broken, that the cycle of sin is broken because of what you did on the cross. God, help us to trust you and believe that it is broken. Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us, that comforts us, that counsels us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As we open up the altar, if you need prayer today for anything, the altar is open. If you need to receive Christ, please come. If you need prayer to help in discomfort, come. If you need us to pray about anything that's going on in your life, we will touch and agree with you. The altar is a sacred place where God wants to move. We're going to agree with you, the faith that you have. We're going to agree that God wants to do it. He will do it. He's faithful to do it. And we're just going to touch and agree with you that God would do it in this place, that he would touch you, that he would reassure you that he is with you. If you need prayer, please come.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God of all comfort. Ain't nothing like getting what you need when you need it. Amen. There are times we can get stuff that we don't need, but when you really need something and God comes through, it's just like, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he came through just in time. Ain't nothing like getting what you need when you need it. He is that type of God. He is a covenant-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God. Meaning he made a promise and he's going to keep it. Ooh, hallelujah. Ain't nothing like a God making a promise. I can make a promise and maybe not keep it. But when God makes a promise and he keeps it, he is a covenant-keeping God. Come and put your hands together for the word that was given on today, a God of all comfort.